I'm here with Chris Lopez, the Director of Operations for Spaceport America. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, Rachel. Good to be here.
And so let's start from the beginning, Chris. We've had a little discussion of Spaceport America before on KGLP, but let's revisit the beginnings.
The beginnings actually started in the 1980s. Our leadership back then and some scientists and space professionals in the area, including the White Sands area and around the state, recognized that we have this great airspace above us that can be leveraged for future space development. Eventually, as time went on, so it started in the 80s, the Spaceport Authority was created. And the big news that everybody got was when we signed Virgin Galactic to be an anchor tenant. But what people are forgetting is we've been launching rockets since 2006 out of Spaceport America, thanks to our partnership with White Sands Missile Range in the airspace above us.
And this was before an actual facility was built.
That is correct. So the reason why New Mexico is well positioned for a spaceport, and I've referenced that airspace, is we have this restricted airspace. It's about the size of Connecticut above us. Other places that launch rockets will say they have restricted airspace, but we have restricted airspace from ground to infinity. It's not like layers of a lasagna over Florida or California or Virginia. Certain layers of their airspace are restricted, but here in New Mexico, we have a great chunk of airspace above us that we can utilize for commercial space flights.
One of the things that our listeners hopefully understand is that when we talk about Spaceport America, we're talking about the future. We're really not talking about what it can give us right now, even though there are a few tenants. It is a process. It is a work in development. So when Governor Richardson implemented what became the funding process to build the facilities itself, and several counties there were told, this is, in exchange for tax abatements, et cetera, there will be opportunities for employment, there will be more jobs. But that wasn't a promise of jobs immediately.
It's not like a vending machine, you know, where we put our 75 cents in and we get our Snickers bar. But what I like to liken this to is the commercial space travel and commercial space industry is that next industry, that next transformative industry. And for a long time here in our lifetimes, we have seen, or our parents have seen, those transformative technologies, or grandparents. Let's just start on ones that we know and use every day. Can you imagine saying, we don't need a horseless carriage? That's a ridiculous invention, a horseless carriage. And how many of us use automobiles? You move forward and all of a sudden, who needs a machine to tell us 2 + 2 = 4? And now most recently, why on earth would I want an entire library and all the world's newspapers in the palm of my hand or in my pocket? Those are all examples of transformative technologies, from automobiles to the computer to the internet. Commercial space travel is that next transformative technology. What's extremely interesting is others are starting to recognize the ability to make money off of commercial space. And evidence of that, thanks to Bank of America and Merrill Lynch reports, you're seeing the investment from venture capital firms just explode in the commercial space project. I speculate that several years ago, there were only about 5 companies that were investing in the commercial space industry. Today, we think that number is as high as 40 companies. So the rest of the world is starting to take note that commercial space travel is going to occur. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And already we're starting to show some dividends, which I know we'll talk about here in a little bit, of how that's affecting our state.
In addition to basic space launch and, you know, and refurbishment facilities, one of the topics that's been making the rounds in the past few decades is that as other regions across the world develop spaceports, the concept of hypersonic passenger service from one part of the world to another becomes a practical matter. The sidebar on that is you still have to deal with the local transport to get people to the spaceport. And when I was visiting there a few years ago, they had not yet had a way to make it easy for people to, say, fly in close by and, you know, get there quickly so that they could get to the spaceport. There was a rather rigorous way of getting there over the roads and, And I wondered if there are any plans for that process to change.
No, absolutely. That process will change as the demand warrants it. Today, the commercial space industry, we need a lot of space. It is not a proven technology to launch rockets, but we still have accidents. You know, even we still had NASA accidents just a few years ago. SpaceX and Blue Origin still had accidents just a couple years
ago. And Virgin Galactic had the accident with one pilot dying. One of the sidebars again I'll throw out there is one thing that's been noted in the media is that when accidents happen in the private sector, they don't get quite the attention that the NASA accidents get, and that's an interesting side aspect.
It's interesting. I think that's just, and I don't know what the answer to that is, because it certainly it's very traumatic, and it does. You're in the business to make money at the end of the day, and those accidents are extremely expensive. But the loss of human life or the harming to your employees and your teammates is just it's a very traumatic experience. So it's not something done lightly. A lot of people were afraid that Virgin Galactic was going to step away from the business and step away from New Mexico after 2014. And the exact opposite happened. They actually made a recommitment and they became undaunted because they do see this as a mission of humanity. When Virgin Galactic, one of their big motivators is making the world a better place for all of us. And one common theme that many astronauts do talk about is when they're up there in space and they look back, they see this big blue ball, Spaceship Earth, as some people call it, and they realize there's no more map borders, there's no more fences. We're all in this world together, and being able to reach out into space and develop new technologies that's going to help us make sure that we can stay on this planet for as long as possible.
And aside from the recent developments of Virgin Galactic really ramping up and finally getting very close to the first commercial passenger flight, there are other tenants with launch facilities. Do you want to talk a bit about what's been happening just in the last couple of years? What's happening now?
Oh, absolutely. We've been launching quite a few NASA missions. Up Aerospace and Exos Aerospace have been launching out of our facilities with different NASA missions. One of my favorite NASA missions was a re-entry experiment of how do we re-enter the Mars atmosphere. So that was really interesting. We've seen medical experiments launched where people are learning how to take cancer cells and grow vascular structures using cancer cells, biopharmaceutical experiments. So it is quite interesting. This year, one of my favorite projects this year is a company by the name of Spin Launch. They're developing a completely new launching technology to go up like a centrifuge.
More
like a centrifuge, and it launches the rocket up. And they're building about $10 million worth of infrastructure at the spaceport right now, and they look to be launching later next year.
Obviously, if the so-called space elevator develops for the moon, it may not ever be practical for the Earth just because of the huge engineering challenges there. Plus, you can only do that pretty much from the equator. If something like that ever happens, that could be, you know, if humanity's still around, it might be 1,000 years in the future. What we are talking about now is the pathway for Spaceport America for New Mexico in the coming 50 to 100 years, for example.
Oh, we're not even looking out that far. I mean, like we said, Spin Launch is going to be using this repeatable launch system to continually launch. So in the next handful of years, we expect to see quite a bit of success from them. Virgin Galactic already has 110 employees here in New Mexico, and they're looking to launch the space tourism. But a big part of their business is also the payload and the experimentations. It's very common for us to have teams of people on our launches coming and doing experiments and payloads up in the Earth to benefit us on a daily basis here on the ground.
As with the development of the aviation industry, which is not without its problems, you know, and the development, you know, it's not, no form of transportation, whether it's trains, pedestrians, what have you, is perfectly safe. If you move, you are taking some risk. But with regard to the spaceport, that that process involves major infrastructure. You're talking about a little city there, your own fire department, lodging, delivery of, you know, commodities.
No, a miniature city very much describes us very well. We're responsible for our own water supply and making sure that we treat that water and reintroduce it to the environment very responsibly. We're responsible for bringing in our own electricity. We do have our own fire department and safety and security department out there. So we very much are a miniature city. Right now, I think last month's activity numbers, we had 5,000, whether you want to call them guests or contractors working on the site, we had 5,000 visits into the spaceport last month alone, and that number is going to continue to grow. But we are isolated because we are required to be in. You want to launch in isolated areas. You certainly wouldn't want to launch out of downtown Albuquerque. And so that's why we are out there under that White Sands airspace.
Although the time could very well come when the technology becomes proven, when the safety corridors are established, when it might be possible to fly from Albuquerque quickly or have rapid transit rail going down to bring passengers there. What I want to get back to, and I sidetracked myself a little bit, was that in the development of the aviation industry, there was a period early on when only the wealthier people would be using that service. And that's a pattern that's being followed, I think, with passenger space travel, is that the wealthiest will be the first. But there could be a window in the coming decades, the coming century, when it becomes affordable.
Well, actually, that's happening already. I mean, if you think about it, if I remember right, to hitch a ride on the Soyuz capsule, that you're talking in the tens of millions to get up into space. Virgin Galactic will be sending guests up, their future astronauts, as they call them, for about $250,000. And what's really interesting is a lot of people say, oh, we're going to have all these millionaires that are used to Manhattan-style treatment or Singapore and Hong Kong-style treatment. And that's not what Virgin Galactic's looking for. They want New Mexico to be New Mexico. I'm from Las Cruces, New Mexico. And I like to think of my state as a mi casa es su casa type attitude, that authentic welcoming that we are as a people here. And that's what Virgin wants, because it turns out that's what their guests are looking for. And it's not all millionaires, but you're also having folks who see this as a once in a lifetime opportunity. And so they're selling some assets and taking the opportunity to go up into space.
As director of operations, are you involved in the active outreach and recruitment of potential tenants?
Oh, for tenants, absolutely. We have a sales team that does reach out. But once the sales team identifies New Mexico and identifies our site, our operations team does work hand in hand with our sales folks to make sure that we're attracting and we're putting the solutions in place. We're very excited that we get to look at the entire state as an opportunity to help bring a customer in. Just because we happen to be located there in Sierra County doesn't mean that we can't help bring a company in that wants to, say, relocate to Albuquerque or Los Alamos or Gallup, but they need to be able to launch 4 to 6 times a year out of Spaceport America, but they want to be near some of the resources and assets that those other communities have. Spaceport America, since it's a state asset, we are all too thrilled to hope to support something like that in the near future.
And yes, just to reiterate, Spaceport America is owned by the state of New Mexico. It is operated by the state of New Mexico, although they may employ private agencies in that process. Now, would you like to talk just briefly about your pathway, what took you through to becoming director of operations at Spaceport America?
I have a very non-typical route, so I'm a very good story. If we have any young students out there listening, everyone always thought to get in the rocket business, oh my gosh, you have to be this brilliant scientist, like my favorite rocket scientist at Spaceport America, Dr. Bill Gutman, who's at Gallup Middle School today with the 8th graders. You don't have to be brilliant on just the physicist side, and there's are many pathways to get into the rocketry business. Myself, I graduated from NMSU with a business degree in logistics and marketing. I went into the semiconductor development business that took me to Asia for quite a few years. I came back home and was involved with commercial real estate development across about 18 different states here in the U.S., and the opportunity for Spaceport America came up, and I wanted to be some part of something that was bigger than myself and bigger than our community. So when we came to Spaceport America, it's really like a very large real estate development It's still a piece of land that needs to be developed properly for our customers, and we need to take care of our guests that are on site and make the proper investment decisions to make sure that we continue to grow this investment. So it's a lot like commercial real estate development.
Now, Chris, you've touched upon the issue of new technologies, of looking toward the future, and I do need to touch upon, you know, some of the controversy around any new development. During the development of the moonshot, mm-hmm. the space program to send the first humans to the moon, during any new technology development, there is that sector that says, oh, don't put government money into this. This is a boondoggle, et cetera, et cetera. So as a representative, what would you say to those detractors saying, oh, Spaceport America is just a boondoggle. They made all these promises. Yeah, 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 yeah. Where's the results?
Mm-hmm. No, the results are occurring. And I'm gonna go on to Virgin Galactic directly. They have over 110 jobs here. We've got Spin Launch building their own facilities up to 10 million. We know that our various customers in the last handful of years have literally put tens of millions of dollars into the New Mexico economy. So a lot of people ask me the question, hey, Chris, when are you going to launch? Well, we've already launched. I get a little cheeky. No, when are you going to launch? Well, we've launched 301 times. No, Chris, when are you going to launch? And then, of course, they're asking, when is Virgin going to launch their space tourism business? We expect that to happen next year. White Knight, the large carrier ship, is physically in the hangar right now. It will be returning to California to be picked up, to pick up the spaceship and come back home to New Mexico. But to those detractors of you know, you really want to go real strict on don't put a single tax dollar into a private venture, I would remind everybody to look at the ports of entry. I would remind everybody to look at airports. And when I last checked, I think there was only one airport in the middle of Missouri that does not get a single tax subsidy. Every other airport in the country gets subsidized by public dollars. And it's that infrastructure. I would also go so far to say, well, if we don't want any tax dollars going into private entities, should we tell FedEx and UPS to get off of our state-funded roads? Or should we tell all those... You know, let's ask NMSU and UNM and New Mexico Tech how much they enjoy their private partnerships with the private companies as they develop new programs with the talented students here. Should we not be helping those companies out work with our universities? So it's a definite fine balancing act. It's being stewards of this investment and using state dollars is not something we take lightly. It is a big responsibility, and we're trying to do the best we can.
Let's get back to why Spaceport America reps are in Gallup, talking about STEM, that's science, technology, engineering, math, and it's adjunct STEAM, which incorporates art aspects as well. How are the folks at Spaceport America supporting the mission of STEM or STEAM?
You're hitting on a very important pillar required to us by legislation, is to make sure that we grow the education opportunities in the STEM and STEAM fields here in New Mexico. And we've got a couple programs in place. One, we're helping Systems Go out of the east side of the state grow their high school programs. And that's a high school rocketry program. I think they have 17 schools right now involved and signed up for those programs. We do a lot of reach out to the middle schools. In fact, right now we're in the Albuquerque area, Gallup and Grants area this week, reaching out to the middle schools to educate the students and show them the possibilities of what they can do with those STEM and STEAM fields. Moving up to the college level, we actually host the largest rocket competition in the world. From around the world, we have 1,500 competitors come into New Mexico. They stay for a complete week, and they compete, launching to 10,000 feet, 30,000 feet, and even 100,000 feet. And it's a precision. It's a sincere engineering competition. It's just not a rocket competition of who goes the highest and fastest wins. They compete on various levels, very technical levels, very engineering-minded levels for precision. And what I'm very proud to say is now it's in our third year of being the Spaceport America Cup, being here in New Mexico. For the first time, we had the New Mexico State Atomic Aggies and the UNM Lobo Launchers competing. So we always talk about the big football game or the big basketball game. Now we've got a rivalry going on. And on the engineering level. So they both competed this year and did very well.
You know, NMSU's engineering students in past years have been building drone systems and other mm-hmm. systems, you know, other aspects of STEM that could be tested out at Spaceport America, I would guess.
Oh, absolutely. Well, during this competition, as a matter of fact, we've seen semiconductor experiments, medical experiments. We've seen drones eject out of the rocket body to fly back. We've seen air brake systems on rockets. Last year, I think one of my favorite experiments was after the rocket landed under parachute, then a rover exited the body of the rocket. The rover had to identify how it was positioned, had to drive back towards the original launch site, stop at a designated point, and then erect its own miniature launch rail. So it's quite amazing. It is very quite amazing. And then also for this year of note, what I'm proud to say as a New Mexican, the Lobo Launchers were the first team off the rocket pad this year. And that's a very big honor at this competition. I mean, you're competing with folks, like I said, from around the world, all the way from Scandinavia. Poland has been there, the Swiss. Of course, Canada has some really solid teams, Asia teams, and then the 32 states, Virginia Tech, Harvard has competed here. UCLA was here this year. So very notable accomplishments by our local universities.
So we need to acknowledge that the full potential of Spaceport America may not be realized in our lifetimes, but in the lifetimes of our children, our grandchildren.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things I got involved with Spaceport America is when I did look at my daughters. So many of my classmates got educated here in New Mexico, taxpayer funds, educated my peers, and then they left the state. All that money that we invested to create solid minds, and they went to other places. And so Spaceport America is really, I hope, is a catalyst to help more of our students stay home in New Mexico. So many of my peers say, oh, I wish I would have stayed in New Mexico, or one day I plan to move back. And I choose to take the other path. No, I am moving back, and hopefully I can build something so the next New Mexican educated student doesn't have to leave us.
And finally, have you or your cohorts had any inkling of the current support from the state of New Mexico for Spaceport America?
Oh, no, I tell you what, the governor's administration has been fantastic in challenging us. She's challenging us to stretch our boundaries, stretch our wings, be creative in creating more companies. The EDD department, Alicia Keys, have been fantastic. So there's definitely been a push, because let's go back to, it's not a question of if it's going to happen. It's a question of when. And we as New Mexicans don't want to be sitting on the sidelines going, wow, we missed the next opportunity to diversify our economy. And the current administration really understands that and is really challenging and putting quite a bit of pressure on us to succeed.
What are the chances in the coming decades, in the coming century, for a New Mexico University branch at Spaceport America?
Even if it's not located on campus, I think, you know, if there's a payload processing center that we need to erect for the Lobos or for the Aggies or for New Mexico Tech or any of the universities that want to develop it, absolutely. No question about it. To build facilities out there at the site. We won't have dorms and such out on the site, but if there's dedicated university research offices or launch offices that we need to have down there, no question about it. Absolutely, that would be something we would love.
What can young people in this region, especially New Mexico, look forward to in terms of opportunities in the space industry? If they have basic skills, construction, accounting, computers, you know, are there pathways for them to benefit from this?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. In fact, Virgin Galactic right now has just hired some accountants from the local area that graduated from local universities. We know that Spin Launch is hiring welders and other construction trades folks to come on in. So a lot of those trades, you're traveling to different parts of the state. Why not come on down to Spaceport America and do some work there? There are a multitude of disciplines in the space industry. We're hiring at Spaceport America. Please keep that job site up. Spaceportamerica.com is where you can find our job postings. Also, the New Mexico State SPO's office website will have our postings. Virgin Galactic is hiring in the area. Spin Launch is still hiring in the area. And more companies that have identified to be relocating, we hope to make those announcements next year, will also be hiring more folks. So don't be discouraged again. Students, I struggled in math. I feel your pain. Those late nights of just banging on that table and saying, I just don't get this algebra. Stick with it. You know, do good in your class as best as you can, but don't be intimidated. If you want to launch your career, and that's a pun intended, guys, if you want to launch your career into the rocketry business, please keep those sights. Don't give up and keep moving forward. You will make it if you want it.
And for me, it was integral and differential calculus. Any last words for our listeners on Spaceport America or anything else you want to mention?
I just want to say, I want to thank the Gallup School District for welcoming us, and thank UNM Radio Campus for welcoming us here today. I think, you know, Spaceport America, if you have any questions, please reach out to us. Please visit our website. Come down and visit us. There's a lot of attention of when Virgin Galactic is going to do that first launch. We are coordinating with multiple state agencies to make sure that we as New Mexicans put our best foot forward as a state to the rest of the world. We're working very hard. Several agencies are working very hard on that. And if you have any questions, please let us know. If you ever need us to come into your classrooms or trade industry groups to get a better understanding, or if you want to visit the spaceport, please contact us, and we'll absolutely welcome you, have you with welcome open arms.
And if you're looking for the website, you could do a quick search for Spaceport America, probably. But what is the website?
www.spaceportamerica.com.
Okay. I've been speaking with Chris Lopez, who is the Director of Operations for Spaceport America, the site manager for Spaceport America. Thank you, Chris, for coming by.
Thank you so much.